It's a new year, 2022. Hope you're ready. I want to say hello online to everybody that's watching. So good to have you each and every week join us at Promised Land. And I don't know if you know, I'm sure you have noticed, those of you that are online every week, but now we have the lyrics to the songs. So you can actually know the words as we're singing them. You can sing them with us. And so I hope you have been enjoying that. But we got a beautiful card from Mitch and Darlene in Lago Vista a few weeks back, and we just want to say hello to you. I also want to say hello to Ms. Gloria in New Braunfels. Always glad to have you with us as well. So come on, let's give our online folks a hand and thank them. Yeah. Glad to have you with us. I want you to turn in your Bibles, if you have one, to Colossians, the first chapter and the 27th verse. We're going to start off this year studying this passage. And so, sometimes we'll study a book, sometimes we'll study a chapter, sometimes we'll study a verse. And so we're going to study a lot of verses, but the core of this month, I really want to start off 2022 with this message. I feel like if we had this verse in our consciousness, you know, like if we understood it logically, if we allowed it spiritually to pierce our heart and just be a seed sown into our heart in January, that it would produce good fruit all year. So Colossians, the first chapter, we'll have it on the screen for those of you that trust us and believe we're putting the right thing up there. All right. That was a little joke. Okay, Colossians 1:27 says, For God wanted them. Who's them? Well, all of God's people. God wanted for God's people to know that the riches and glory of Christ are for you. Did y'all get that?
Yeah.
Let me start over from the beginning. For God wanted them to know, he's talking about them, he's talking about God's people. He wanted them to know that the riches and glory, somebody say riches. Somebody else say glory. The riches and glory of Christ, that's a pretty big deal, are for you Gentiles also. Now, when you read the word Gentile in the Bible, it can technically mean non-Jew. I mean, that's literally what the word Gentile means, anyone that's not a Jew. But this will be a little more helpful for you that are new to Christianity or, kind of reading the Bible for the first time, maybe. When you see the word Gentile in the Bible, it doesn't just mean an ethnic group of people. It means any people that are on the outside. So the Jews were on the inside. They were God's chosen people. But this is a huge revelation now that the riches and glory of Christ are for you on the outside also, the Gentiles. So people that are the non-churchy people. I won't raise your hand if you're a non-churchy person. Some of y'all be proud of that. That's good. Okay. People that don't know much about God. People that are on the outside looking in, what this text is saying to all of the people, the Gentiles, is that the riches and glory of Christ are for you too. That's awesome. It's not just for the people that have it all figured out. It's not just for the people that have been here for 10 years. It's not just for the Ramoses who have been here for almost 19 years. It's for everybody that just walked in the door for the first time. The riches and the glory of Christ are for you too. And this is the secret, that Christ lives in you. Christ lives in you. And this gives you assurance of sharing his glory. The fact that Christ can live inside of you, the fact that God could be in you, that is what gives you hope. That is what gives you assurance that you would be able to share, that you would be able to experience the glory of God. Okay, I'm going to read it again all together instead of breaking it up. I want to read it all together, very concise. For God wanted them to know that the riches and glory of Christ are for you Gentiles too. And this is the secret. Christ lives in you. This gives you assurance of sharing his glory. So the fact that Christ could be in you is definitely a concept that a lot of people have not thought about. And if you have thought about it, if you like truly think about a deity that's perfect and pure, never made a mistake, always doing the right thing, that's God, has all power, knows all things in all places at all times. I mean, God is incredible. The fact that that entity could be in you is pretty perplexing. It's a pretty big deal. How could that happen? How could that be? I'm not worthy of that. I don't know what to do with that. What would happen if that were to take place? Christ in you. Turn to your neighbor and say, Christ is in you. Point to him. Go ahead. Yeah, Christ is in you. Some of you aren't doing that. You're nervous, all right? You're not sure about it. I know what they did yesterday, and I'm pretty sure Christ is not in them. Point to yourself, Christ is in me. What if Christ was in me? That's a big deal. And you're wrestling with that. How could that happen? How could that be? I want us to talk about Christ in me over the next month, and we're calling this series Christ in Meme. How about that? This is one of the strangest series titles we've ever had, and that's good. I want that to just hang out there for a little while. And go with me on a ride, okay? Go with me on this journey over the next few weeks. It's going to come much more clear, and I'm really hoping that it's going to bring some clarity, some peace into your life. I just want to start very simple, though, and that's this text, Colossians 1:27. If we were to go back a few books to the book of Acts, the book of Acts is the historical book of the New Testament. So it is teaching us like how things actually happened. The book of Colossians that we just read out of is a book that is a letter written, you know, in the new church. But the book of Acts is telling us the historical facts as they came out. Okay, so here's the very beginning of the book of Acts, chapter 1. And in this moment, Jesus is still standing with his followers. He's at this point, he's risen from the dead. So they're all around him, mesmerized, listening to every word that he's saying. And these are sort of his parting words to them before he is going to ascend into heaven. Acts 1:4. It says, once while he was eating with them, I love that. I love the details of the Bible. Once while Jesus was eating with them, he commanded them, do not leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift that he promised. As I told you before, John baptized with water, but just in a few days, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Y'all can leave the scriptures off the screens because it's distracting. Y'all just look them up in the Bible or trust me, all right? Let me read to you Acts 1, just so you get it. While he was eating with them, he commanded them, don't leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift. We just all got a bunch of gifts at Christmas, right? God's going to give you a gift. He's promising it to you. John the Baptist baptized you with water, but just in a few days, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God. So this is the same message that we heard in Colossians, that God is going to be in us. And the word baptized is an incredible word. It means to be fully immersed. So be fully immersed with the Holy Spirit. We'll be fully inundated with the presence of God. That's what Jesus is promising us. And the word gift is important. This baptism of the Holy Spirit's not going to be anything that you did to deserve the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but it is a gift from God. You don't deserve gifts. You deserve compensation because you worked and you're paid for that. The Holy Spirit is not compensation for anything you've done. The Holy Spirit that God wants to immerse you with is a gift that you don't deserve. You have done nothing to earn it. That's a very powerful, thing that Jesus says is going to happen. He tells his disciples, they're eating, and he says, you're going to be given this gift of the Holy Spirit. So what do you think the disciples respond to that with? You think they'd be like, all right, that's so awesome. Yeah, it's going to be great. That's not what they do. They're typical broken humans. And this is what they tell. This is what they tell Jesus in Acts 1 and 6. So when the apostles were with Jesus here, they kept asking him, Lord, has the time come for you to free Israel and restore our kingdom? And so instead of responding to Jesus and saying, wow, you're going to fill us with your spirit, that's amazing, we can't wait for that to happen, they say, well, Jesus, is this the time that you're going to kick the Romans out and you're going to restore the government so that we'll be at rest and at peace with a king again, and where our government's all going to be in order and everything's going to be put in place? If it was us, if we were in that particular verse, we would be asking, like, okay, Jesus, is this the time that you're going to finally fix COVID? Is this the time that inflation is going to stop going up? Is this the time that my retirement account is going to start going back up again? Are you finally going to drain the swamp of DC? Come on. Some of y'all are acting like y'all never asked these questions before. Come on, 8:30. That's what we would be asking, because that's what we do ask God, right? Is this when you're going to fix all that stuff that is around us? And this is Jesus. I feel like Jesus is like, oh, goodness. Like Jesus is just like, I've been with y'all. You've seen me, you know, come back to life. And you're asking me these questions. This is what he tells. He replied, the Father alone has the authority to set those dates and times, and that's not for you to know. But you will receive power. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Do you see the difference in what Jesus is teaching here? Instead of you having this focus that God's going to fix something over there and that's going to make my life better, what Jesus instead says is, I'm going to fill you with me. I'm going to fill you with the power of the Holy Spirit, and that makes all the difference. It doesn't matter what happens around you. When you have God living inside of you, it doesn't matter what's going on with the government. It doesn't matter what's going on at work or in your bank account or in the neighborhood or whatever. When God is in you, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you, here's what's going to happen. You will then be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. So that's locally, statewide, nationwide, worldwide. You're going to be my witness. That's a big passage. Now, if we skip to the end of the passage and we read the part that says, you're going to be telling everybody, everywhere, all about Jesus, that could be very intimidating, right? I'm going to tell people about Jesus? What? Unless you're a mega extrovert, which there's a few of y'all at Promised Land. Y'all feel comfortable doing that. But most of us in here, tell people about Jesus. What are you talking about? What examples do we have to tell people about God? Jehovah's Witness, Mormons. If you're to tell me that's what you're going to do, I was like, I'm out. I can't do that, right? That's not me. That's not my personality. That's not what I know. So am I supposed to talk to people about the church? Am I supposed to talk to people about theology? Am I supposed to be able to defend or prove things? And the answer to all that is no. That's not what Jesus says in that text. Jesus is not telling us that we're to be a professor or that we're to be a judge or that we're to be a lawyer, but Jesus says we're to be a witness. And a witness simply does one thing. A witness shares his or her personal experience about the situation, about the person, about whatever's happening. So we can't take the end of that passage about we're going to go out and talk to people, we're going to be witnesses without taking the beginning. So here's the three things that this text tells us very succinctly and very clearly. If you're taking notes, jot these three things down. They're very simple, but they're very important. Number one, Colossians 1:27 and Acts 1:4 through 8 tell us that we are going to be immersed with God. That's number one. You will be immersed with God. If you're writing it down, write, I will be immersed with God. I'll be fully inundated with the presence of God. That's number one. Number two, that baptism is going to give me power. That word in Acts 1 and 8 says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And the Greek word that is used there for power is dunamis, which is the same word that we get dynamite from. And so when Jesus is trying to explain that you're going to have power in your life when the Holy Spirit comes into your life, he's saying you're going to have dynamite coming into your, the presence of the Lord is not just going to be like a little urging, a little nudging, but God wants to come make a difference, an explosive difference in your life. So number one, you're going to be immersed with God. Number two, that baptism will give you power. And number three, you're going to go tell people about that, about the power that has come forth in your personal life. If you haven't experienced one and two, don't worry about number three, right? If you haven't been immersed with God, if that baptism hasn't given you power, then don't worry about telling anybody about God because you have nothing to tell them. If you didn't know that one and two could happen to you, I'm glad you came today to hear that God wants to fill you with himself, that God wants to inundate you with something out of this world instead of being inundated with CNN or Fox, come on, or your favorite show on Netflix, instead of being inundated with all the things of this world and inundated with the career path and inundated with trying to make it or inundated trying to accomplish things or getting people to accept you or like you or, you know, getting to a place where everything's smooth. Instead of being inundated with that, you're inundated with God. You're inundated with something that's outside. You're baptized. You're immersed with Christ, Christ in me, the hope of glory, the hope that I could experience the glory of God comes with this principle of Christ being inside of me, in me. So the reason why we have this title of Christ in me. I'm going to give you just a little taste. Today's not going to dive into it a whole lot, but I want to give you a little bit of taste about memes. Everybody that's online, everybody that's on social media have seen memes. There's a picture and there's a phrase under it or on it. And there is this amazing cultural transfer that happens when you look at a meme. Most of the times it's funny. Most of the time it is something that you're like, oh yeah, that's so funny. If you just see the phrase, the word, it can mean something. But when you combine it with a picture or a video, and then you see that phrase on top of that picture video, all of a sudden, there's something culturally that's passed on to you. And the word meme is nothing new. It's not like it just was invented over the last few years on the internet. But the term mimetic transfer is something that's been happening for many decades. To take a packet of information that's very small and transfer it to someone else and allow that small transfer of information to have something that affects the way they think and the way they act. So most of the times in our culture, we use these memes for humor, to make a political statement, to make some sort of statement about your family, about your race, about the town you came from. You know, there's all these different ways to communicate something when you share a meme. Here's what I would love for Promised Land to have in their hearts and in their mind. Is the story that God is playing out in your personal life, the power of God's spiritual transformation that's happening in you, the gospel, how it has affected and impacted your personal life. There's some people that have thought about it a lot. They have been able to articulate it and they're able to talk about it. But there's so many believers, there's so many people in the church that have had an experience with God and they have yet to be able to transfer that window into the gospel, their personal window into the power of God's good news. See, each of us have our own picture. Each of us have our own window into this goodness of God, of how he has come into our life. I know there's so many people that are here that have experienced the power of God's presence in their life. And so to be able to take that personal experience and be able to transfer that, that's the witness part that we're talking about. God has impacted us. God has immersed us in himself. God has changed, he's changed us and he's changing us always. And that process of God being in us and him changing us is something that we have to be able to articulate and pass on, to be a witness. The power is coming to us, and now we are to be a witness of that. So here's what I would love at the end of this month, at the end of this series, that everybody in here would be able to take the message of God that he has done in your personal life and be able to share it with someone else. This past first Wednesday, we were ending the service, and I just felt impressed that we should all pray for one person in our life. Just envision one person that you know. Maybe it's a coworker, a neighbor, a family member. And I want to keep doing this. I want us all to be thinking about people in our life. You can just think of one person. Who's one person in your life that you know needs some good news in their life, and be praying for that person and be ready to speak when the time comes. Be able to share. Be able to be a witness. I can't tell you about every Hebrew word and Greek word in the Bible. I can't defend all the things. I've done a lot of research. I've done a lot of study. I could have a conversation about a lot of things. But at the end of the day, there's no way that I can prove to you all the different things about God, because I'm not God, right? But I can do this one thing, and that's tell you about what God has done for Robin. I can tell you that. I can articulate that. So I'm going to be sharing that with you. I'm going to be sharing my own stories, other people's stories, to help you start getting an idea of how to do this. And I'm excited about the idea of people being able to go throughout their life, throughout their world, throughout their workplace, and be able, with confidence, in a snapshot, in a 30-second explanation, be able to say, this is a picture, this is Christ in me, and I'm going to give it to you in a meme format. I'm going to give it to you in a packet of information that's very quickly transferred to you to make a difference. Christ didn't come here to make you fit into some sort of religious system. He didn't come here to make you dress a certain way or to make you become a robot that's just gonna just have no personality or no flair or no texture to your life, no richness to your life. Jesus didn't do that. Jesus didn't come to the planet to make you not have fun or be a part of some weird cult or something like that. Jesus came to give you abundant life. Abundant life. This is what John 10, 9 through 10 says. Yes, I am the gate. Those who come in through me will be saved. They will come and go freely and will find good pasture. The thief, the devil, his purpose is to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus says, my purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. I'm here to tell you today that Promised Land is here to propagate that gospel, that Jesus has come to make a difference in your life, to fill you with power, that all the circumstances of your life may not be wrapped up in a nice little bow, and the point of your witness, the point of your testimony is not going to be, God fix that part of my life, and God fix that part of that my life, and over there, and that person, and you know that. Da, da, da. No, the message is God changed me. God changed me. God is in me a rich and satisfying life. The other translation says an abundant life. And so our church is here to help people step into this relationship with Jesus, an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ, not a religion, but an intimate knowing of God, to know God personally and to be filled with him. And when that happens, it is an awakening. There is like the scales of the eyes have fallen off. And there's the spiritually blind now have sight to see what God is doing in their life and in the lives around us. So believe it or not, you're eligible for this awakening regardless of where you've been or what you've done. Remember the very first text I read today, that even you on the outside, even you Gentiles, even those of you that don't know how to follow all the rules yet, even those of you that don't know a whole lot about God, you are eligible for this awakening because of the beauty of Jesus Christ. And so all of humanity, even the Jews, maybe especially the Jews, have fallen short of the glory of God, the richness of God. We've fallen short. We have rebelled against the goodness of God by taking our own path, our own way. But God loved us, even in our rebellion, so much that instead of separating humanity from him forever and ever and ever, God decides to step into the story, into humanity, and he becomes a man himself, and we call Jesus the Son of God. He is God in the flesh. That's what we just celebrated in Christmas, the fact that God didn't just throw us to the side and let us evaporate or burn up or whatever. Instead, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, Jesus, to be born and become one of us, that we shouldn't perish, that we shouldn't be separated from him forever and ever and ever, but we should have eternal life. that he would come be in us. So if you are in that place of being on the outside looking in, maybe you feel like a real Gentile, maybe you feel like there's other people that get it and you don't, maybe you just feel like you're just, this is just not for me, I just don't understand this. I wanna let you know that Jesus loves you dearly. And Jesus came to this planet not for us to be God, but for us to be human and for him to come into us and make a difference through us. What that means is we don't have to have it all figured out. We're not gonna have it all figured out. As I said earlier, I'm the pastor here. I don't have it all figured out. I got a lot to learn. But I pray that God is in me, that I will get out of the way and I'll let God shine through, and that God will make a difference for me in my life, for my family, my wife, my kids, those around me. And that's what I want to offer you, that God wants to come into your life too. So that separation between God and man happened because of our own choosing. We chose to do something outside of God's plan, and that caused a big chasm between us and God. Jesus comes to connect the perfect deity, the holiness of God, the beauty of God, what our scriptures have said today is the glory, that's the greatness of God, with humanity over here. And Jesus does that by doing what we should have done all along, which is live the perfect life. When he lived here, he followed all the rules. He did everything just right. He followed everything just as according to the book. As it says in the Old Testament, dotted every I, crossed every T. And that's the way Jesus lived. And as a result, because he followed everything just right, earned an eternity with God forever and ever and ever. Because of the way Jesus lived, he earned eternity with God forever and ever. He did a great work here. What's so perplexing, and what we call the good news, is that he offers humanity a deal, and he says, I will give you what I've deserved if you give me what you deserve. And that's why Jesus went to the cross, because he was taking what we deserved. Isn't that awesome? We could have and get and receive whatever Jesus earned, which is eternal life with God, because we put our trust in Jesus, and then he trades us. He takes on the brokenness of humanity, and that is what drove him to the cross. Because that death and that separation from God is what we all deserve. That's why when Jesus was on the cross, he is hanging on the cross, dying, and he says, my God, why have you forsaken me? The separation of the flesh of Jesus, broken and bleeding, separated from his heavenly Father. And he dies in the place of us on that cross. And he says, whoever in 2022, San Marcos, Texas, or watching online, would say yes to me and put your faith in me, that, again, you don't have to figure it all out, you don't have to know it all, but if you will say, I trust you, Jesus, that you did that for me, and I am in need of your work, I want to apply it to my life, you will be saved by the blood of Jesus. And that submission and that surrender to God is what opens up your existence, opens up your life, and makes you eligible then to have that spirit baptism. If you go out there and you try to, you leave here today and like, okay, I'm gonna figure this out. I'm gonna quit making these mistakes. I'm gonna start serving in the soup kitchen, and I'm gonna do all these good things, I'm gonna stop doing all these bad things, and I'm gonna make myself eligible for that spirit to come to me. You've got it all wrong. That's not good news at all. That's a lot of hard work that you'll never be able to match up to. Instead of it being about our work and what we're doing, we're saying, I trust that Jesus did the work already. And that surrender to Jesus then opens us up, makes us eligible for the Spirit to come into our life and start changing us from the inside out. And what happens is there's some behavioral transformation that does happen, but it's not because we, out of our own consciousness, began to make that behavioral change happen. It's because Christ in me is the hope of glory. Christ in you is the assurance of sharing in his glory. It is the baptism of the Holy Spirit that gives us the power to do what we could have done ourselves. So I want us to pray right now. Would you join with me? Stand to your feet. I want to ask the worship team to come. But before they begin to come and play, I want us to talk to God, ourselves. And I do this every week. I want to do it again today. And I always give you, sample words that you can pray. But I want to make sure I'm clear today that I cannot do this for you. Now, I prayed for David earlier. I laid hands on David and Jacinta. That's scriptural. I'm joining with them to pray for them, to help them with their physical stuff. That's biblical. But when it comes to salvation, when it comes to being filled, that's only something that you can personally do with God yourself, not your parents, not your kids, not your spouse, not your pastor. No one else can do it. And here's another thing, though, that's good, is that it doesn't take real fancy words or, you don't have to pray in the old King James language, like, dear Father, est I ask thou to enter into thine heart. No, you don't have to do all that. Just out of your own words and your own humility, you just say, Lord, I surrender to you. Would you join with me if you're ready for that? In fact, I think it'd probably be healthy if even those that have done this before, if we'd all just start 2022 with this humble posture of our body, soul, and spirit. Just say, Jesus, I surrender my heart to you right now. I trust in you, Jesus. I believe, Jesus, that you gave your life for me. I believe that you are the door. I believe you're the path to eternal life, Jesus. I believe you did the work necessary for me. I believe that I could be in relationship with God because of you, Jesus. I confess my faith in you, Jesus. I put my trust in you alone. And I'm excited about what that means in my life. About me getting out of the way, and Lord, about your Spirit coming into my heart. Come on, Jesus. Come on, Jesus. I welcome you into my life. I open up my life to you, Lord God. If there's anything in me that's not of you, Lord, show it to me. Reveal it to me. I search my heart right now. Jesus, I repent of my sin. Please forgive me of my sin. Please forgive me of from birth till now. And Lord, from now until I die, please forgive me. I am asking for your forgiveness, your amazing mercy. So forgive me of things that I could never fix. So humbly here today, Lord, I give you my life. I give you my heart. I give you 2022. And now, God, Lord, I just say, come on and live in me. May Colossians 1:27 happen in me. May Christ be in me, the hope of glory. May Acts 1:4-8 happen to me, that I would be filled with the Holy Spirit of God, and that would create a dunamis in me, a power in me that would be transformational. Just say, Lord, I make myself available. Come on, I make myself open to you in Jesus' name.